Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to begin a series, and I'm going to be teaching through the book of Ephesians in August. That was my plan, and so we're going to begin it early. We're going to get the introductory message tonight, and I'm going to, of course, teach verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. I'm going to try to do it in 4 weeks, but tonight we're only going to cover two verses, okay? And so bear with me as we are in Ephesians chapter 1, okay? If you're there in your Bibles tonight, say amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to read the first two verses, and then we'll get into a little introduction before we get into the meat of the Bible study tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to study those verses tonight. We're going to unpack those. And so I want you to follow along. Would you pray with me one more time as we get into the word? Father, I ask over the next few moments that you would speak. Well, I thank you for a church family who are hungry for your word, who are in their place during a midweek service. And I pray you bless them, Lord, as they are not only hearers, but doers of your word. Lord, I ask now that you would take over, Lord, that your spirit would lead. Help me to only say the things that you'd want me to say. Help me to be true to your word. Lord, your word will never return void. You've exalted your word even above your name. And Lord, help us to understand that what we hold in our laps right now, some of us on our phones and our iPad, is the greatest resource on earth. It's your word. And Lord, we thank you that you've preserved it and you've kept it so that we can know you. We know you through that revelation. We thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so the title of this series is By Grace. The theme, the overwhelming theme of the book of Ephesians is the grace of God. And if you're honest tonight, you're only sitting here saved and on your way to heaven by the grace of God. And that's dealing with the grace of God in our salvation. But not only do we see the grace of God in us being saved, but we also see the grace of God day by day. The Apostle Paul put it this way: it is by the grace of God I am what I am. So grace is the only foundation that we have, the only reason why we have a relationship with God. And so this book, of course, was written to a city by the name of Ephesus. There were churches, within this metropolitan city. Ephesus was located in Asia Minor, and it was a harbor city, and because of its location, there was much by the way of commerce. It was a travel point along the way. And this city was a city that was bustling with people and with technology. There was found in Ephesus, there were houses that had heated, that had heat and indoor waters. And you read about it in Revelation how the Holy Spirit, of course, Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus, how they had gotten lukewarm. And that was a picture of the fact that these people had running water in their houses that would come from a hot spring. And by the time it would get to their house, it would be lukewarm. But Ephesus was a city kind of like Los Angeles. It was a bustling city. They were followers of the great goddess Artemis or Diana. And in Ephesus, there was a temple that had been erected to Diana, and these people would go to this temple and they would worship her. This was the largest temple of its day, of its like, and these people, they would have worshiped this idol, and they would have lived their whole lives believing in this false god. Now, Ephesus was a very wealthy city. It was known for its affluence. And so I want you to just kind of get an idea of who it is, the Apostle Paul, the people, the type of people that he is, of course, addressing in Ephesus. The people who would have been in this church had been saved out of this lifestyle of idolatry, out of this lifestyle of affluence, many of them, out of a lifestyle of just worldly living. But they had come to know Christ, and now they are a part of his family. If you're happy tonight that you're a part of Jesus' family, say amen. Amen. So as Paul addresses these people, I want you to see tonight how he greets them, okay? I want you to notice with me Paul's greeting. Well, the Bible says that he addresses them, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So Paul, he greets them and he gives his name. There would have been maybe others in the congregation who maybe did not get to meet him because at this time when this church had been going, he had long been gone and he was writing this letter from a prison cell. And these people may not have known or have seen his face in that life. And so Paul addresses them and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, okay? See, this is just an amazing thing to me. Paul, we know, was once Saul, once the lead persecutor of the church, and he had wreaked havoc on the church. The historians believe that Paul was responsible for over 2,000 deaths, that he was responsible for imprisoning many others. And Paul, of course, we know that on the road to Damascus, he was gloriously saved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he, at that point, he was brought into the family of God. And if you're sitting here tonight, you had a moment in your life, a time in your life where you understood the gospel. You understood that Jesus loved you and he died on the cross and that he made a way so that you can have a relationship with him and an eternal home in heaven. And it's a glorious thing. So Paul, as he addresses this church, he says, Paul, and then he says, an apostle, okay? So I want you to understand this, okay? This title of apostle was exclusive to just 12 men. Now, we live in a day where there are men and women who are running around calling themselves apostles. I was talking to a coworker today, and she was speaking of this, how in her church background, there's apostles, and then there's bishops, and then there's pastors, and there's this hierarchy within the church. And I said to her, just very kindly, ma'am, you know, there's only been 12 apostles, and the last apostle was John the Revelator, and when he died, they fell off the scene, and there is no more apostles. And so I want you to understand something about this title apostle. This was somebody who was trained directly by Jesus Christ, had face-to-face time with Jesus, and they were sent directly as Jesus directed them, okay? That's an apostle. And so when someone comes up to you the next time and says, I'm an apostle, you ask for their ID. And if it's not 2,000 years old, say, hey, you're not an apostle. An apostle was appointed by God. So Paul, he addresses these people from this position. And it wasn't a prideful thing for Paul. He understood that he was the least of all apostles. He understood that he persecuted the church, and it was by the grace of God that he had this position. And this position was one that meant that he would suffer much for Jesus Christ. You understand that each one of the apostles suffered for the sake of the gospel. I can go through the list, and pretty much everyone except for John the Revelator, who we, of course, know writes the Gospel of John in the book of Revelation, he was the only of the 12 who died a natural death. But him himself, he had been put inside of hot oil and his skin was burned and he was banished to the island of Patmos. So he suffered most of his days from his ailment. But let me say this to you today. Most people who are running around today calling themselves apostles, they're self-appointed. They want the position, they want the rank, and they place themselves above where they should never be, okay? And so Paul, he greets the church at Ephesus and he says, hey, I'm Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm the one whom Jesus has chosen to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And this is by his will. He says, by the will of God. It was not Paul's will. It was not his mother's will. It was the will of God that placed him in this assignment, in this role. I don't know where you're at tonight, but God has an assignment for each and every one of us. I don't know what it may look like. I know for me, God has called me to be a preacher of his word, to call me to be a father, to be a husband, serving him in that capacity. But I want to encourage each and every one of you today to seek out the will of God for your lives. That's where you will be most fulfilled. That's where you will see God's protection, provision, and his direction is when you're in the will of God. I wonder so much how many Christians are even consulting God and saying, what is it that you want from my life? Paul, he had taken the mantle from Jesus and lived it out. And so Paul, he addresses these people. He greets them. He says, I am the apostle by the will of God. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to me. Can I have your ear? And so I believe Paul led with this as an introduction, but also so that the people would open their ears to what he has to say. That he was the man whom God had chosen to bring the message. He was the instrument. Of course, we don't worship the man, but we worship the God who this man is representing. And so he speaks to these people here at Ephesus. And he says, hey, I'm an apostle by the will of God. And then he goes on and he says to them, to the saints who are at Ephesus. So he addresses them as saints. Now this word, what it means, and I won't bore you with all the Greek of it, but what the word saint means, holy one. Holy one. I want you to understand something about who you are in Christ. You see, the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were imputed upon you his righteousness. When God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that when God sees me, he doesn't see who my sin or my track record or who I once was. But when he sees me, he sees the blood that has been applied to my life and to my soul, and he's pleased with that. I want you to understand tonight, if you're in Christ, you are holy. You've been imputed righteousness. Now, that's the holiness as pertaining to your salvation and your position in Christ, but there is also a practical holiness that we need to be mindful of. You see, salvation and sanctification are two different things. You see, once we get saved, we should seek to live a holy life. We should seek to walk with God, be filled with his Spirit, and live out holiness in our day-to-day. And the Apostle Paul, later on in Ephesians, we're going to see how he talks about how these group of people, how they used to be whoremongers, how they used to be murderers, how they used to be liars and thieves and all these things. But now they're in Christ, and they ought to understand their standing in Christ and live that out. Some of us in this room, we need to learn how to put on Jesus Christ like we put on our clothes every morning. We need to put on our salvation daily and not allow the flesh to reign in our lives. So the Apostle Paul, he addressed this group of people as saints, as people who have been called holy by God, who have been declared holy because of what Jesus did. And so he says to the saints who are in Ephesus, and he talks to them and he addresses them as the faithful in Christ Jesus. As those who have been faithful. Now, these people in Ephesus had a testimony, and that testimony was that of faithfulness. I want you to understand something, and Pastor Shane hit on this on Sunday, and it was a phenomenal message. So if you didn't hear that, I would suggest you listen to that online. But what God requires of us as believers is that we would be found faithful. Wherever he has you, whatever role he places you in, wherever you find yourself at this stage in your life, you should do all as unto Christ. You should be faithful in that. And so Paul is speaking to these people, and he's encouraging them because he knows that they've been faithful, and it had not been easy. They were in a culture kind of like ours that was quickly, was completely turning their back on the things of God. And so Paul, as he spoke to them, he said, hey, you guys are faithful. You guys have been true to our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but my heart's desire is that when I stand before God, that I would hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's a goal that I believe every believer in here should have. When I see Jesus, he's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so Paul, he's speaking to the, he greets them. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he transitions and he says to them, grace be unto you. Grace to him, to them. What was he saying to these people? What was he imparting to them? Remember, we began this sermon by saying that we stand upon the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God. You see, there's a grace of God that saves us, and there's a grace of God that we serve through, that we stand through, okay? It's a supernatural enabling that comes from the Spirit of God that allows us to live out Christianity. How many of you have tried to live out Christianity not being filled with the Spirit? It's impossible. Have you tried to stop whatever stumbles you in your walk with God on your own cold turkey and try to just be strong enough and in your own strength to say no to things that you are tempted with, that's very futile. But may I say this, there is a grace that's available to every believer here tonight that we could stand on, that we can allow God to work in us and through us so that we can have the victory in our lives and so that we can serve God with excellence and so that we can be who God has called us to be. And this is what the Apostle Paul was beginning this letter with to these Ephesians. He was saying, grace be unto you. Now, these people had already been saved. They have already received the grace of God. So the grace that Paul is speaking about here is that grace that allows them to continue to be faithful. You know, I think faithfulness should be measured in decades. You know, I know you have known people who have been faithful for a season, and then they fall off. And then they start, going down a different path. I pray for each one of us in here tonight that we would depend on the grace of God so that when we take our final breath on this side of heaven, that we would have been faithful all the way through. And it's possible, guys. The Apostle Paul, he was able to say it at the end of his life, that he had kept his course, that he had kept the faith, and that there was a crown waiting for him because he had done so. He finished his course. How many of you guys tonight would say, Pastor, that is my desire? I mean, not here tonight just to check something off the list, but I honestly want to come to the end of my life and having been found faithful to my Savior. That's my desire. And so the Apostle Paul was saying to them, hey, you need the grace of God. You need, I desire for you most that you would know the grace of God in your life. Paul, like I mentioned before, he knew that he was where he was and that he was able to accomplish the will of God for his life because of God's grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he spoke of it. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, listen to this, he reminds us, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What allowed the Apostle Paul, after he was stoned in one city, to get up and go to the next and still preach the gospel? It was the grace of God in his life. Guys, we're coming up on a season in our country, in our culture, where it's not going to be easy. There's not going to be too many gummy bear Christians standing. I call people who who has to have church where there's air conditioning. You see, I'm sweating. where life has to just be a bed of roses for them to continue to walk with God. But we're coming upon a season in our country where things are going to get difficult to be a Christ follower. And it's actually kind of scary how close we are. You know, I believe God has put on our pastor's heart to preach against the way, the direction that our country is going, the direction that our elected officials are leading our country, because surely but surely more and more of our liberties as believers are being infringed upon. I was talking to my mother and I was telling her, you know, some of the things that have been going on, some of the laws that have been passed recently in California, New York, and others. And I was telling my mother, hey, there's going to be a time where I believe I will be in prison for preaching this Bible. And it's closer than I thought. Do you guys remember a few years ago when the mayor of Houston indicted or subpoenaed for the sermons of several pastors? Because she lived in an alternative lifestyle, and she didn't want them preaching against those lifestyles. And luckily it was fought and they didn't have to do it. But I'm saying we're getting closer and closer to where someone may burst through these doors in a few years and say, what you're saying is hate speech, and if you don't stop saying that, then we're gonna take away your tax exemption. We're gonna take away you're gonna close the doors of this place, and we're gonna throw your preacher in the prison. And the problem is many times we, you know, sometimes when Christianity is easily lived out, we get comfortable, we get used to the ease, and I really believe within a few years we're going to see a change. So the Apostle Paul was speaking to people within a culture where it was not easy to be a Christian, where there was many, many oppositions to them walking in the truth. And so he said to them in the very beginning of this letter, grace be unto you, grace to you. You're going to need the grace of God to live it out in Ephesus. And let me tell you, church family, we're going to need the grace of God to live out Christianity in California. And Paul was very clear. My desire for you guys is that you would know the grace of God. Paul, I love Paul and his humility. I love the fact that because he realized who he was and what he had done when he came to Christ, when he was given this calling on his life, he had humility about it. You see, what I fear in my life and in your life is that there's too much pride there. So God resists the pride, but he giveth, listen to this, grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. We have to humble ourselves. You see, Paul, he said it this way in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul realized that everything that he had done for God, it was only by God. It was only by his grace. And if you're going to raise your children up to love Jesus Christ, it's going to be by his grace. If you're going to be faithful to your wife until one of you go home, it's going to be by God's grace. If you're going to be a witness the way that God has called us to be a witness, it's going to be by the grace of God. It's not going to be because you're a good person. Because let me tell you tonight, this preacher behind this pulpit, I'm not a good person. And in and of myself, I would ruin all the good things that God has done in my life. But I'm thankful for his grace that I stand before you today in. He said, I want you guys to have grace, but then he also says, I want you guys to have grace and peace. We live in a world where peace is something that is not common. We live in a day where peace is not something that most can say that they have. But you know what I found this? When we walk with God, when we live a life of faith, there's a peace in that. There's a peace that he gives to those who are seeking him. And he is, of course, the Prince of Peace. You know, we have all that we need in Christ. You know, that song we sung a moment ago, like, Lord, I forgot that you were enough. You guys know that Jesus Christ is all that we need. Jesus is the only thing in your life that cannot be taken from you. You know, I meet Christians all the time who they're busy going about lives and they've been blessed and they're busy planning this and doing this and going here. And you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying life. But let me tell you something. I realize more now than ever that it only takes 1 second for everything or everyone that I love to not be here anymore. It only takes one visit to the doctor for me to not have the bill of health that I thought I had. It only takes one event to rattle our whole worlds that we've constructed and that we spend all of our times and resources investing in. And as I think about it more and more, it makes me cling closer to Jesus. Because honestly, there's more to be fearful of in this life than there is to be thankful for. I was listening to, you know, a few weeks ago when Brother Ray Comfort, he said it the way that I've experienced myself, how when he had gotten everything that he thought that he desired, that he wanted in his life, and he looked at his wife, and he looked at his business, and he looked at everything, and he said, this is all one day going to be taken from me. And it wrecked him. And I want to say something tonight. The only place where peace that passes all understanding is found is in a relationship, a growing, thriving relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you, if this isn't something that you possess, then this is something you should ask God to give to you, his peace, not to stress, not to worry, not to be so anchored in this life that you aren't ready for the next. Are you ready for the next life? You know, we say we believe this Bible. I'm guilty of it myself. where I say I believe this Bible, but I live sometimes as if the best that I will experience is in this life. Like, I live as if there's not a heaven waiting for me. And so this is why the Apostle Paul was willing to risk it all. This is why the Apostle Paul had peace even in all types of different circumstances. We know the Apostle Paul went through stonings. He went through scourgings. He went through shipwrecks. He went through all types of things. And many, many times his neck was on the line. And ultimately, his head would be cut out for Jesus. But why could he in that very prison pin the letters that I am ready to be offered? I am looking forward to seeing Jesus. You know why? The grace and peace of God. He knew where he was headed. Why is it that we fear so much? Because I would dare to say that we're so anchored in this life. We think it's all about our kids, our perfect house, our bank accounts, our retirements. We think it's about that, and it's not. It's about the glory of Jesus Christ. And that type of Christianity is a type of Christianity that rattles a society. Christians who have separated themselves, their hearts, from the things of this world to such an extent that death isn't even something that they fear. And I just want to challenge you tonight, as we begin this study in Ephesus of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, from the very beginning, as he greets these people, he talks about his position that he's been given by the will of God. He realizes that his identity is found in whom he serves, who he belongs to. And then he realizes that it's only by his grace that he's able to fulfill that role. And then he realizes that the most valuable thing that he possesses, other than that relationship with Jesus, is the grace and peace that comes with it. Tonight, could it be said of us that we have the grace of God working in us and through us? Do we have peace? Did you come in here tonight with much worries about things? And did you come here tonight with the peace of God? Ask yourself that question. Because what we need most is to have that. To have that relationship that brings grace and peace in our lives. The book of Ephesians, I'm excited about it. We're going to see some very pivotal, some very high points when it comes to redemption, when it comes to restoration, when it comes to the fact that in Christ we're all equal, and I'm excited about this study. And we'll continue it in August, so I kind of want you to keep this in the back of your head. The book of Ephesians, and if you can begin to read it on your own, it's a book that's rich with the doctrines of the word of God and with the truth of who we are, our position in Christ tonight. I want you to leave here tonight knowing who you are in Christ. You're a saint. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. Don't live your life like you're a second-class citizen. Your citizenship is not here on earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a child of God tonight. And understand that as a child of God, it comes with privilege, but it also comes with responsibility. The Apostle Paul understood that. He understood that because Jesus gave his life so that we can be redeemed, that always merits a response and deserves a response with how we live. And so as he wrote to this church, we'll see it. He wrote to them from a practical standpoint, so that they understood who they are, their purpose in this life, and how it's going to be played out. And so I hope that this study will be a blessing to you tonight.